I don't know if many of y'all know, my father was born in Beirut, Lebanon. My grandmother's from Tyre, Lebanon. My grandfather is Palestinian. It's hard for me to be in the environments I've been in. It seems as if my understanding on this issue and kind of what I know about it is not shared with a lot of people. You know, our country and a lot of different institutions approach it from an angle in which I'm aware of, and yet don't hit the other side of it. And so I feel like most Americans aren't exposed to both sides. An early church father named Saint Augustine of Hippo, he's given credit for making the statement. He says, "In essentials, unity, and non-essentials, liberty, and all things, charity." What I wanted to say was, in all arguments, no matter what the argument is, there's two sides of the coin. There's two sides of the coin on all arguments. We need to examine both sides and be cautious of taking a stand on a particular position simply because other people or someone in whom we respect makes a plausible statement. Right? There's a danger of not researching a person's comment. You know, I respect you, I love you, you make a comment, and I embrace it. Alright? As far as Palestine, you know, Israel, this issue for me, I think about the media, I think about the church, I think about our country's slant as far as being very supportive of Israel in many different regards. I don't want to make this a controversial debate. It's not about that. Not at all. The only reason why I'm even bringing this up is because there's an aspect in which I feel is just not understood, you know? Most people don't recognize that as far as the church is concerned, in regards to a theological position, that it boils down to a theology called covenant versus dispensationalism. This is a interpretation of the scriptures. The theologians, they have $10 words. They use a word called hermeneutic. This is a study of being able to interpret. And depending on your hermeneutical background, you're going to interpret the scripture in a particular way. All right, Presbyterians, Lutherans, these folks, they're what's called a covenant. This is why infant baptism, most Baptists, you know, they say, well, you need to get an adult baptism. They don't understand infant baptism. I mean, there's some churches that teach this has something to do with salvation. That's kind of out there. But there are other churches in which you do it, and they're biblically sound, and yet they embrace this infant baptism. Why is this? It's rooted in covenant theology, right? The covenant with Abraham with circumcision. Okay, there's a plausible argument on that side to just dismiss it as, you know, these people are just ludicrous, dumb, stupid. We need to do our homework. We need to study this stuff. We need to look into it. We can't just call a person ugly and not recognize that there's a depth to it. Current day secular Israel, the same nation referenced in the Old Testament? I don't know. I have my own personal view, but if I'm honest, I have to say I don't know. I don't. However, I do know this. Whether or not they are or aren't, it is not essential to our faith. We as believers have to see past the political propaganda that exists in this situation. The truth is, as believers, our main concern should be focused on reaching all people and all nations with the gospel of Christ. Figuring out when Christ is coming back or whether Israel is still God's chosen people should not be our priority. Now, I'm not suggesting that your view of the end times or any other debatable matter are invalid or should not be developed into a personal, deep, dogmatic conviction. Grow, learn, reach conclusions, but never lose sight of two important truths. First, when you're dealing with a debatable matter, it is very possible that you'll enter into heaven and find out that you had it totally wrong. Second, we are first and foremost called to be fishers of men, not people who know it all and are in a position to give a response to every answer that somebody could ask. You know, I think certain verses are misinterpreted. There's a verse in 1 Peter 3:15, it states, "But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." The sad truth is that most of us never get asked about this hope because people can't see it. That verse, it's referenced. People think that verse and it's like, oh, that means I need to have an answer for anything anybody could ask me. Anything. I need to have it figured out, you know? There are verses throughout the Bible that state how God is not a God of confusion and that the scriptures are sufficient. These verses do not mean that we are capable of figuring out the answers for every question. Interestingly, in those contexts, in contexts that those get thrown out there, I've been in these environments that, you know, there are these hot boxes and they'll use these verses to say, you know, God's not a God of confusion, scriptures are sufficient, we can come to these conclusions, we can reach the truth. You know, and in these contexts, if your conclusion is different than what I've deemed to be the truth, what I've found out to be concluded, then you're unbiblical, or even worse, you're a false teacher. And for folks who are unsure, well, that's because you're just lazy. You know, you're not praying enough, you're not reading the right books, you're not listening to the right sermons, you're not putting enough effort towards it. You need to try harder, you need to work harder. We're called to be fishers of men. We are told to go into the nations declaring Christ and Him crucified. We are not told to be wrapped up in issues and divided over things which are peripheral to this purpose. The age of the earth, free will versus predestination, sign gifts, a view of the end times, Israel's position, baptism, church leadership, the role of women, they're all important issues. They're important. But when we get to heaven, I can promise you, it's not going to be divided so that the King James only reading fundamental Baptist can sit up front, right? And the Presbyterians, they get the balcony. And Charismatics, they get all the standing space so they can dance. No? There's a story of Hudson Taylor. He's an incredible man. He was a missionary. One of the first, well, not the first, but definitely a pioneer in China. When he got out there, it was a commune, basically. It was a bunch of Europeans that went to China. They're trying to share the gospel, and so they set up this commune. And if you wanted to hear the gospel and you're a Chinaman, you have to come into the commune. And in the commune, it's all a bunch of Europeans in European garments, right? And they're sitting there, and they're teaching you their religion. Now, most of these Chinamen were distracted by it. They couldn't get past the clothing. And so Hudson Taylor, when he got there, he sold all his garments. He bought Chinese people garment, and he cut his hair. He had horse hair woven into the back of his hair, on the back chunk out here, and so he looked like a Chinaman. Now, the people at that mission, they cut that dude off like nothing. I mean, they were like, you gotta go. They slandered him, they criticized him, and yet that, as silly and as trivial as it sounds, was instrumental in his ministry. He had one of the most incredible ministries in China. Still to this day, people are affected by what he did out there. Ephesians 4, 1 through 7 says, and this is Paul speaking, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, being with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and gatherer of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You hear the emphasis on the word one, where we worship the one true God, who is the Lord of lords, one heaven, one God, one church, one body, right? Well, if that's the case, then why is it that we lose sight of this truth so easily? You know, when's the last time you've seen a conservative Baptist link up with a liberal Methodist in a group activity? Or charismatic with a Presbyterian for a potluck and fellowship? It doesn't happen. Why is this? Why is it so hard to let the peripheral be the peripheral? Military service is interesting. I spent 4 years in the Air Force. And, you know, during that time, you catch this, like, sense when you talk to somebody in a different branch, somebody that's in the Army, right? And you tell them you're in the Air Force. They kind of make a smart remark, right? And the Marines versus the Navy, it's like we have this competition. We're better than you. You're weak. You're wrong. You're stupid. Whatever it might be. They always like to criticize each other. And it's this competition. And yet every branch is submitted under the same authority, the commander-in-chief, the president. They have the same single unifying objective. Ravi Zacharias, incredible apologist, he makes a quote. He says, "Unity does not equal uniformity because there is diversity in the kingdom." He also references to the blind man. When Jesus healed the blind man, he said, if that would have happened today, you know, some of you used mud, some of you didn't. He said, we'd have Muddites and anti-Muddites. Tendency of elevating one's particular group higher as to be better and more exalted is found throughout our culture. We're consistently examining people's character and worth by their particular occupation, their car, their appearance. A word that most people are unfamiliar with but classifies this attitude is called ethnocentrism. It is defined as the belief that the values and standards of one's own ethnic group is superior to others. I want to ask a question, was Jesus ethnocentric? Yes, he was. Because I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man gets to the Father except through me. Are Christians called to be ethnocentric? Absolutely. But on what? In what ways are we called to be ethnocentric?